DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Last night, Hartenstein's back playing, you know, teens. Maybe minutes in the teens again.
Maybe that'll be the adjustment.
I mean, part of it, I guess, is defensively. He gets ate up by a couple of these guys.
It definitely hurts, I would say, the Thunder that they
offensively
they botched a 20-10 game from Chet. I know people were criticizing Chet, but he had 20-10 last night. What you want that man to do? Like, Chet Holmgren is not the reason why they lost that game by any stretch of the imagination. Like, if I get 20-10 from Chet, I'm in a great place if I'm a Thunder fan. Like, it's like those nights where he has like 6-3 and he's getting bullied around. I mean,
how many of them threes that the OKC missed did he take in the fourth? He was 0-6 from three.
It was a bad fourth quarter performance, Jason. We got to own it as a team.
They've been bad. That's what I'm saying. It's not just one.
Yeah.
It's all three games.
Yeah.
Well, so what you're seeing at the end of it, he's 6-15, 0-6 from three. Like you said, there are some spots where he's dominating, but if you're just settling there at the end,
yeah,
then that's not what your team needs at that point.
Right.
Yep. He's gonna have to stay good. He's probably gonna have to be better, John.
Yeah.
These Pacers are built for it. I can see what you're trying to convince yourself. OKC's okay. I can tell. That is the vibe.
Well, I think the market is kind of telling you. The market is telling you something, right?
You've already put the next bet in, haven't you?
OKC money line game four. OKC money line game four.
Now we're just doing money lines.
I'm not laying six, dude. Not with this damn Pacers team.
Not anymore. We learned that lesson yesterday.
I'm not laying.
Was it 5.5?
It was. I got it at 5-105. Please give me some credit. You know, I always beat the line. But yes, it didn't matter. It did not matter. So, you know, I'm like, let me just stop. I'll lay again when they get back to OKC. I'll lay whatever. 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, it don't matter. They'll take care of business in OKC. That's what they do. They've been a wagon at home. But
I can tell you don't want me saying a word about this.
No, series. I'm not offended by it. I think it's all fair. Like, we've seen OKC, we've seen him grow up, right? We saw him grow up in Game 7 of the Nuggets series. That was a grow-up moment. We saw him close out the Timberwolves.
I think their grow-up was maybe even earlier in Game 4, as I've told you, against the Nuggets, where they could have been finished.
That, exactly right.
I just went back. It was 8.
Yes.
Got to 8 to start the fourth. They were down. Right.
So you've gone from this sort of prepubescent team, and you've become a man. But now Game 4 is your greatest test. There's no doubt about it. This is it really for them, it feels like, cuz we know what the numbers are down 3-1. So you're going on 3-1, the Haliburton's getting a ring.
The roster wasn't supposed to be good enough. They were ready to take down the best player in the world, but maybe not a future Hall of Fame coach.
I thought you were going to say Hall of Fame guard in Tyrese Haliburton.
No. Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah.
And Rick Carlisle, who's got adjustments and plans for this dominant team.
Yeah.
This team that handled them twice in the regular. Like I told you, in a regular season, you can't slow down and study OKC and put together a – but in a series like Carlisle, with all the time that they had coming off of the Eastern Conference, what – this guy, man, that's who they weren't ready for. Dagnall psyched himself out, felt like he had to make changes even before it even started against this future Hall of Famer. Your true hero is the man Brad identified very early on in these playoffs.
Yep.
As championship.
But it seems as though he's not quite ready to embrace them again. Because if you got to – Brad leaves breadcrumbs, right? Breadcrumb Carson. He'd be leaving the breadcrumbs out there, and you got to sniff them out, man. And he's already kind of showed his hand on what he's going to do tomorrow for Fade Brad. He's left the breadcrumbs. Now, will you pick them up?
I think you just got him following your scent now. That's why he went straight to ill yesterday.
I did not influence that.
We could tell your vibe the whole day, bro.
Chat GPT.
I'm so smart. I caught it at 5, but we'll talk about that later.
No, we'll talk about it right now. We'll talk about it right now. -5, -105. Beat the Lions, baby. How much did I win? Nothing.
Nothing.
I got nothing out of it, man. I got absolutely nothing. They lost the game outright.
You'll get the next one because you're such a good sport about it.
How many people will be in? You said it best about the last thing we saw is influential. I am not persuaded by what happened last night. That is one game. I put it away, and now we have a fresh game to look at. I said this, and I called my shot before I made my bet yesterday, if you listened.
I mean, and that's how the professionals do it. I mean, I mean the basketball players.
I'm not going to look back on what I said yesterday. I made a bold statement, even if, and I even said, even if the Pacers win a close game, and then I made a statement.
I mean, how many
that.
Times have we seen in these playoffs a team get beat by 40?
Yes, and then come back and win
the next day, and they come, you know, other than the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
The Grizzlies got beat by 50, came back the next game and lost by 20 again.
They're good at it.
That's the Grizzlies. Yeah. I'm talking about the good teams.
Yeah.
You know, the good teams respond, right? They always do.
Right.
I mean, and even when the game got back to, you know, the four, man, the Grizz were up 29. You know what I mean?
Piss that away.
We've got that one actually. We're going to unveil that on one of the – it's part of the Grizz promotions that we're going to run next year.
What's it called?
We're gonna unveil the banner up 29 yeah. against the Thunder
yeah, we're
in gonna, the first half.
Basically, we're going to call it a series win now. Figured out.
That's right.
That's what we're going to call it.
It's going to be a puzzle giveaway. It's going to be the Thunder. It's going to be the starting lineup
figured
for the Thunder.
Yep.
It's going to be solve the puzzle, which we did. We had figured it out. And
a moment in time.
First 5,000 get an Oklahoma City Thunder puzzle. And then at halftime, we will unveil the banner. Up 29 before the Jai injury.
It looked like the Jai's giving the blueprint to Carlisle. Because they got it looks
he
like
shared.
They got him figured out. He shared it.
That's actually a good promotion.
We had him there too. We had him figured out too.
They're gonna make a 30 for 30 about that.
Figured out.
You got that 30 for 30 music over there, man.
It should be.
Cause
it's a good one. Revisit 2025 Grizz postseason.
Like everybody will talk about the 7-game series with Thunder and Nuggets, but what if I told you that there was a dynamic point guard who had figured out the Oklahoma City Thunder. Down 2-0 in the series, up 29 at one point in the second quarter. One man had the code. 30 for 30. I don't know what the title is.
Figured out.
Yeah. Solved. The 2024-25 Memphis Grizzlies presented by Ortho South. Make sure you get your elective surgeries at Ortho South.
Yep. Just saw Edie.
Medical update coming soon.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's good.
It was really well done.
All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about these finals, get his thoughts on Shea's response in game 4. Do the Pacers do this? Can they pull off the unthinkable? Still 2-1 dogs up 2-1 with home court advantage in the finals. We'll get into all of that with him at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, I turn FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, I turn of him, ESPN. Jason Fitz is going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, some NFL. Speaking of NFL, I got the same tweet. They mentioned both you and I in the tweet that Pittsburgh's wide receiver coach definitively said that Calvin Austin III is our number two man right now. He loves the room. He was like raving about it. He was like, I love our wide receiver.
I loved it because our listeners are kind of like the algorithm. You know, you say something or whatever, they're kind of listening out for
exactly.
you. They hear something for you.
We appreciate
send it
that
your
very
way,
much.
So very much appreciate that. And yeah, to have it backed up right now, it just kind of lets you know. It didn't sound like they had a plan to bring in anybody right now that would sort of be labeled there too, and it puts Calvin in a three spot. They're leaving it open for Calvin to go do it. And others have said, and I've heard this and read it too, I mean, he's got a chance to be one of the best deep threats in the league. That's what he does. That speed, you can't emulate it. You know, and there's only a few that possess the kind of speed that Calvin Austin's got. So, again, 4 touchdowns last year. Remember, that ball, he liked it a lot better from Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson's known for his deep ball, the moon ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Justin Fields, whereas it's laser beams, we discussed that with Calvin, you know, last offseason. It's a difference in how those balls are thrown. Well, back to the point, Aaron knows how to throw a deep ball. There's going to be some touch on it. So he's got an opportunity to get deep, get Aaron's trust, and put up number two like numbers in a contract year.
Yeah.
And whether it's with Pittsburgh or with someone else, get yourself paid. You feel a lot, I'm just telling you, I mean, he wouldn't say this openly. But if I'm in a contract year, I got to go out and produce. I'm going to feel a lot better about my numbers that I'm about to put up with Aaron Rodgers than I would have about with Mason Rudolph. With all the, no matter how much I respect Mason Rudolph's work ethic and everything else, him as a vet in that locker room, you've been in there with him. I'm hyper about the chance with Aaron Rodgers in terms of the numbers I can put up if I'm Calvin Austin.
Yeah. What
are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You're with one of the GOATs,
exactly.
The way you're looking at it.
And you know, the deep ball is what he does. I mean, yeah. Or did.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know how.
You need as much throwing time and repetition with him as you can get. DK getting that one little session with him, because it's really what, it's the trust he has, right? When him and Devontae were out there, it's, you know, knowing where Devontae's going to be, Devontae knowing where Aaron's going to want him on certain routes, and most importantly, this coverage, so we're doing this, and we did it over the years. That's what I'm saying. That's what you really need, and that comes with reps. So if I'm Calvin, I'm in his ear every time, whether it's right after practice, where, hey, man, can we go get some extra throws? I want you to trust me,
mm-hmm.
and I want us to have that sort of same telepathy in terms of where we're each other as much as we can. That we can't going into the year, and you start that now. You don't wait until training camp. So I'm sure Calvin's already doing it.
Yes. I'd love to see that. Obviously when we had him in here, I don't remember when that was, but the hope was he would have an extension done by now, but you know, that hasn't happened. But you know, that's fine. That's life in the NFL. If he has a big year, he'll get that contract. You know, it's just that simple. I would rather him have gotten it already, because you just hate going into it. NFL is like the worst one, because like you could just get hurt.
Well, yeah, just a guy his size. You know, the whole first season of his was chalked up to injury, where you had to wait. You were so glad that Mike Tomlin truly had invested in you and, you know, had a belief in you that he was going to give you that chance come second year. Those don't happen very often, especially as you get longer in the tooth, and you can go very easily back in the draft and replace guys. So, yeah, man, we would have loved to have seen him paid already, but I think Calvin's, so long as he stays healthy, he's fine. He's got security in the fact of that, with that speed.
Exactly. We'll talk to Jason Fitz about just how much he expects.
The North just probably, AFC North probably, now that you've got Aaron in it, I'm not saying they're going to go be some killer and make the playoffs and win in it, but that's probably back to being best division in football. A lot of folks wanted to give that to the NFC North last year. I'm telling you right now, Darnold being out of there, J.J. McCarthy ain't going 14-3. So I don't think the North is quite as strong as it was last year. Detroit's lost both coordinators. What are we talking about here? I mean, there's Ragnow's retiring at 28, 29 years old, one of their key offensive linemen.
Yep.
So I'm just saying that they could take a step back. John, you already said the RAS is on the under mm-hmm. on their win total.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, now that you got, you know, Rodgers in Pittsburgh, okay, chalk in – right, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cincy, we'll see, yeah.
Dude, why are they playing with their do you see the rookie now is speaking out about them? Not
he left. He left minicamp.
They're trying to put a clause in his contract that no one else has.
What's the clause?
This money won't be guaranteed if you don't do this. No one else has it. The Bengals are trying to, I mean, again, they've never done this. It's only for him.
Yeah, and according to a source, it's interpretation of language in the contract that could affect guaranteed money.
Yeah. It's never been done with anybody else. That's what I'm saying. They're messing with him just because they can't. I mean, I don't know why.
Weird.
He was the 17th pick of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, first round pick. I don't know why you're playing in his face.
And nobody else is doing this stuff to their first rounders.
Yeah.
And so you got your veteran you don't want to pay with Hendrickson, and here's your first round rookie that you're going back and forth with who's right, who's wrong on contract language. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why they continue to do this stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that's odd.
They're crazy that they T. Higgins stayed and they got him done. I would have left by now.
It feels like Joe Burrow just never has like a drama-less training camp.
He's got his two receivers, but he can't. He's got to have some defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he gets hurt or there's contract disputes or whatever.
That's hurt. That's set them back too. You'd already had a Super Bowl by now, probably. I don't know. He might end up being Dan Marino, bro, where he's just cold.
Yep.
But there aren't championships.
That's exactly
in store.
Very, very possible. Very possible. But yeah, not good, man. Not good to have a first rounder holding out like this, especially on the defensive side of the ball for them.
I don't know why they're doing this to him. Just pay the guy.
Exactly, man. You drafted him 16th overall. What are we doing? 17th overall.
Let him get his money.
All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. We'll talk to him about all this, the finals, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is a host for Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Joins us every week here on the show. He's nice enough to join us now. All right, Fitz, so the challenge with an NBA series and an NBA Finals series specifically is that we react. It's like a whiplash, right? We Pacers win game one. Oklahoma City is going to blow them out game two. They do. All right, so then we get the response from the Pacers in game three, and now where do we go from here? Where is this series going from this moment, Jason Fitz?
Yeah, I think, look, a couple of things. Have a one-day rest to get ready for the next game as opposed to having more plays to Indiana's advantage. And, look, we keep waiting for Oklahoma City to be sort of what we thought they were going to be, and that hasn't happened yet. I do think every one of these Indiana wins creates a little bit more concern for Oklahoma City. Like, we all understand that on paper it was supposed to be the better, deeper team, but that depth hasn't really shown up in a way that most of us expected. And frankly, Indiana just feels like they agitate the hell out of OKC, and OKC doesn't know what to do with it. So it's funny because on the broadcast last night, they said at the beginning of the game, you just can't practice for the way that OKC plays defense, which was true in the first quarter. But over the course of the game, I'm not sure you can practice for the way Indiana just absolutely wears you down. So, look, I think it was a big statement win for them, even in a game that I thought the rest of the time were calling a little weird. I'm stunned. I thought OKC would win this in six, and right now I think maybe we were all wrong about Indiana. It's hard not to look at Indiana and say, we can keep saying all day long that they're not the better team. But, man, they seem to be able to withstand everything that OKC throws at them.
Well, better team maybe, and better coach definitely, right? Because even as good as we have to give Dadno credit for what they've done in the regular season. He's obviously been a part of building that culture. But I am left questioning, and many have, why he made the move to pull Hartenstein before the series. He sort of made an adjustment before he needed one. And then you look at what Carlisle is doing. He says out loud, hey, you can't stop SGA. He says it in the presser. He's going to score 30-something points. But then he puts him in the most actions in terms of all the defensive end that SGA's been in all the playoffs, and all playoffs long. And if you watch SGA on the, when he's missing those shots in the fourth quarter we were talking about, he's doubled over. He's tired. And so Rick Carlisle is we trust this guy's a Hall of Famer. He's won a championship. Whereas with Dagnall, Fitzy, I'm looking over there and I'm thinking to myself, does this guy even know what he's doing at this point? Especially compared to the guy across from him.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the moments. We always talk about players being prepared for the moment. You're 1,000% right that coaches have to be prepared for the moment, 100%. Too. And, this is just one of those indicators. And why I think one of the weirdest parts about the NBA is the overreaction firings that happen all the time. Like, I think NBA teams are just constantly convinced that they don't need, insert coaching name here. They're a bum once my team doesn't make it all the way to the final. And I just sit there and laugh at that because you are reminded in these specific instances what it means to have a better coach. And look, it may not come up a lot during the regular season, but damn, when we get to this level of the playoffs, every single series match. And by the way, not for nothing, OKC last night particularly, they were trying to attack and make Halliburton work. Like, they were trying, and I thought it was funny because, again, I'll defer to the broadcast a couple of times. They mentioned Halliburton's got to close better. He's got to get out there better, especially early in the game. And I kept thinking, nope, Halliburton understands I'm just going to live to see another play. And, I realize that seems like a counterintuitive mentality because we want everybody to come out thunder of the gods in the beginning of the game. But I think one thing that Halliburton did really well last night defensively is he paced himself. He decided when he was going to put himself out there and when he wasn't going to put himself out there. And what do you know?
Yep.
We get to the fourth quarter and there's just separation. It feels like every over cliche Disney movie where you see them run the plays and like, we're going to be better conditioned. Like every high school team, we're going to be better conditioned. Mm-hmm. Feels like that in the fourth quarter. Feels like Indiana spent more time on the treadmill all summer long because they got more legs. But I think they're also strategic in when they choose to attack defense.
Great call. That's a great call, Fitz.
You always hear this stat, right, Fitz, about teams that win the game three of a series that's tied 1-1 go on to win it. I think for the finals, it's 80.5%. But does it not mean a little bit less since the format went back to 2-2, 1-1-1? Two teams have done that. I mean, that a team has The lower-seeded team, let me put this in a clearer way, the lower-seeded team since the new format that went up 2-1 has never won the series. That would apply to the Pacers. So is there anything to that in the format being different than the 2-3-2?
Oh, 100%. And by the way, I would just – this is why, like, I'm not just tooting y'all's horn because I love you guys and love coming on with you every week, but, like, Memphis is just lucky to have guys that actually know, watch, and care about ball play in the position that you guys are, because I don't think a lot of people are even talking about that. And it's why analytics and stats can be really, really, really misleading, especially at ESPN, a place I love, a place that changed my life. But I can tell you that they have a department called Stats and Info. It's the Stats and Info Group. SIG is what it's called internally. I can literally go to SIG, and I can say, and I did this all the time, they have Slack, right? So what I would type in is like, hey, tomorrow on radio, I want to make the point that home field advantage doesn't exist for the AFC. Can you find any metrics that fill that? And they will come back with page after page after page of stats to support my argument. And what happens in these situations is that we forget that stats can be just confirmation bias. So when we see all of these numbers run during the game of what the percentages are of teams that win game three, we got to understand every one of these situations is different. And I would just loudly proclaim, how does any of that really impact an Indiana-Oklahoma City series that's wildly different than, let's say, the bubble was, or wildly different than a series that has LeBron in it? You know, it's like all of these different things are variables that really impact analytics. So I just think the raw stats, sometimes in some series, and this is one of them, you usually got to take historic stats like that and throw them away. I don't think that they really impact this series.
Yeah, four teams have come back from down 2-1 since the format change in 2014. You've got the Warriors in 2015 that did it. The Cavs in 2016, obviously they came back down from 3-1. The Bucks were down 2-0 and then 2-1 in that series in 2021 against the Suns, and the Warriors did it in 2022. So it's not even that rare, right? It's not even that rare that a team comes back from down 2-1 since the format change. So I just think, like, again, that 80.5% number is a little bit deceiving here. With that being said, is it we're in a situation, it feels like, Fitz, where if SGA doesn't have 35, this team can't win. Is there any way that they could take pressure off of him, or is this just the way that it's going to have to be for the Thunder at this point in the season?
Honestly, I think it's the way it's going to have to be, and that's got to be maddening, right? Because, again, OKC was supposed to be built on this premise of we can get you double-digit from a lot of different guys, and we're going to have support, and it just feels like they finally met a team that has the same level of depth, maybe more depth, as we're finding out throughout the course of the season, and a really smart approach to just letting SGA get his. And, you know, we used to see this back in the – how often do we see this in the Kobe days, right? Like, the more that they were relying on Kobe, the less you felt comfortable that the Lakers were going to be able to pull out the win, because you can't win a championship with one person. Like, we understand this premise, but we fail to understand it as it comes through. And then what's funny to me is that, look at the other side. Indiana has gotten a lot of balance from different people that, frankly – 3 months ago, nobody even heard of, right? And instead of turning around and saying, oh my God, look at this, they found a way to support Halliburton. Instead, it's, well, Halliburton needs to have that big moment. Like, he needs to carry his team more. It's wild. Like, we're seeing Indiana's approach here, which is, we're going to get the best out of our star that we can, but we've got two or three other guys every single night that are going to be impactful players. OKC's going to have to figure out how to step up. And instead of crediting that, we're using it to dismiss Tyrese Halliburton as overrated still. It's a wild world we live in, boys.
No question about that. And you mentioned overreacting. It feels like every time we get another report from Shams about the Knicks being turned down, that it's more confirmation that moving off Thibodeau was that. Off Tibbs was an overreaction. Maybe it's your player said we won out, but if these sitting head coaches you can't even get permission for, Jay Wright, Rip Tino are telling you we don't want it either. This doesn't look like a team that had a plan, a championship plan, to replace a coach who had him, 50-plus wins the last two seasons, first time since Pat Riley back in the 90s. What have you made of what the Knicks are doing, or more importantly, not doing now in the wake of firing Tibbs?
Well, I think all of this just becomes more and more embarrassing, because realistically, the Knicks weren't in a rush to make this move. They weren't trying to get ahead of anybody in the hiring cycle. They're the Knicks. They believe that they're always at the top of the list. Right. So With that being said, how do you not sit down with whoever's going to be making the decision and have a little conversation about, okay, who's realistic? Who do we know we can get after? And this is where, like, guys know enough guys. I mean, I'll just go back to my music days. Like, if I'm running a band and I decide I want to fire my drummer, the first thing I'm going to do is reach out to four or five other drummers and say, hey, man, you, like, this seat might come open. You interested? Whether that's right or wrong, that's what friends are going to do. And friends are all over the NBA. So it's not like you can't reach out just quietly. You know, somebody reaches out to somebody, you gauge the interest, you're comfortable moving on from Tibbs because, hey, we got somebody else lined up. Like, this just feels like they walked in the room and like a spoiled child. We're like, this wasn't good enough. You're fired. And then you wake up the next day and say, oh man, wait a minute. I just fired somebody and I don't have a replacement. And I'll tell you, like, the devil you know versus the devil you don't. I consistently use Milwaukee as the example. I understand why everybody wanted Coach Bud gone. I understand the questions about Coach Bud as a coach. I think they're all fair and reasonable, but y'all tell me, you think Milwaukee's managed to figure it out since then? It's been a revolving door for a team that has a championship caliber player that they can't maximize, that now we're trying to put on another team because of it. And I just wonder if they went back in history, if they would maybe rethink some of what they decided to do around Bud.
Talking to Jason Fitz, joins us every week here on the show. Catch him on Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio on the weekend. All right, we have a house settlement in college sports. It's a new era officially. A lot of different things now. Revenue sharing, multi-year contracts, which may or may not be legally enforceable. You know, NIL, third-party outsourcing to Deloitte for approval. What will this mean? I think it's pretty obvious what it means, Fitz, for the Power League schools. They were going to be good regardless. What does it mean for schools like Memphis?
I think a lot of schools, and this includes Memphis, I actually used Memphis last weekend when we were talking about this on Fox Sports Radio. I used Memphis as an example with UNLV both. I think certain schools are going to have to look around and decide, are they willing to continue playing football if it means that they're competing for an NIT trophy? Because I think the ultimate reality here is that you're going to end up with 50 or 60 schools that separate themselves into their own league that is one, and everybody else is going to have to decide, do they even want to keep football to compete in another league for another type of championship like D3 does right now, essentially? And then if the answer to that is no, you wonder if many of those schools are going to decide that it just makes more sense from an entire process. I don't think you can be competitive in football anymore without soon at least $100 million a year coming in. So to me, now if you're Memphis, you're UNLV, you're UConn, I'm 20 minutes from Connecticut, why do you have football? I know people don't want to hear that, and I know fans don't want to hear that, but I can put all that money, all those resources into basketball. I give myself a real shot at a national championship, and I can tell my fan base, hey, we're a basketball school now. And I think that as much as that hurts my heart as somebody that covers college football, I think the future in 5 years is a bunch of these schools looking at it and saying, hey, let's relegate football. If we have it, it'll be like D3, and let's put all of our resources into college basketball because we can't compete with the Alabamas and Texases anymore. Like, it's just, this settlement is not going to leave opportunity for schools to compete unless they can pull in literally, I think, close to $100 million a year in money from all sorts of resources.
Yeah, so be still, my beating heart. You sound like me. That's kind of the path I've been on, that I've just been like, let's just go all in on basketball. But I think it's a fair retort, Fitz. The people here will tell you that football is your key into – football is your key into that exclusive company that you're talking about, the 50, 60, whatever the case may be. So how do you balance? Because I think it's true, right? Basketball does not move the needle in that way. Basketball is not going to get you inclusion, you know, into otherwise, you know, the UConn would be in the Big Ten, and they're not. They're in the Big East. So how do you balance sort of football being the key with your only being your only chance to break through in that company?
I think football is going to, in the next 5 years, separate itself completely from all conferences and be their own NCAA. I know for a fact there are entities now that are bidding on the opportunity to own college football teams. So essentially think of it like a licensing deal. there are companies right now that are trying to figure out, can I buy Michigan football, for example, and I'll license the name Michigan football and I'll run it as my own entity. I think the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, I don't think those terms are going to exist anymore in college football in 5 years. I think there's going to be a complete separation. So your only chance of really competing with those schools is, you know, if you're Memphis, your hope is that essentially FedEx comes through and decides, hey, we want to make sure that football is forever important to Memphis, you know, and that's, if you're a school like Vandy, the advantage you have right now is you get that SEC TV money that makes things so easy. And that's the undervalued part of what's been happening behind the scenes for the last 5 years. Like, SEC schools get a pocket full of cash that they start the year with. The group of five don't. So, I mean, I don't think inclusion is going to exist, because I don't think SEC football exists in 5 years. I think it's called something different, and it's been separated from all of that. And that's their way of trying to figure out Title IX. That's their way of trying to figure out money spread across the board. I think it gets separated from the university entirely.
Fitz, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on as always.
Thank you so much, brother.
Let me real quick. I'm gonna be deep and personal for a second, because I love you guys. I'm always personal with this stuff. I had my first colonoscopy yesterday, and I just want to take one quick second and tell everybody, it's not as scary as you think. It's not as weird as you think. It's not as awful as you think. It was way easier, and the peace of mind I got after those results are worth everything in gold. So I'm just telling men out there that are uncomfortable with the process, because I know a bunch of them, go do it. It's not as bad as you think. We gotta help each other do these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen
and,
to that.
And I think we're at a place now where, you know, the recommendation used to be 50, and it's moving up, right? The age recommendation is moving up. So it's a good message. We had our man here locally, Jarvis Greer, in here last week talking about prostate screening, you know, so.
Yes, do it. Do it.
This is the home of St. Jude, so we are all about awareness, and we love it,
great
man.
Great message, Fitz.
Thanks, Fitz.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a great week.
Yep. Yes, sir, you too.
He is Jason Fitz, joins us every single Thursday here on the show. And, I mean, if he knew, like Brad gets a colonoscopy every year.
I do.
Smartest man in the room, like. Freddie Coleman.
We're clean, bro.
What do you call it? You get the full, you go in there.
It's an executive physical.
Right, you get the car wash every year.
Yep.
Every month.
Yep.
Weekly.
Executive.
Daily.
Yes. exfoliant.
Oh, they put lotion on you.
Yeah, you got to get the whole job.
Does the doctor talk to you like Michael Beasley?
Yes!
Does he say, no. I'm going to sex you up real good.
He puts the Vaseline on first.
He's going to do it nice and slow.
Yeah.
Is that it?
All right.
It keeps Brad coming back, man. No, that's good. That's good.
That's right. Got to get clean.
It's for your health, Brad.
Get clean.
It's a good message for our audience.
I concur with what he said, though. I had my first colonoscopy 2 years ago.
Yes.
And it is easy to do.
Men don't want to go.
They don't want to go. What I would be most embarrassed at is I have coverage to do something and I didn't
do
it.
Right, exactly.
That would be an embarrassing thing to me. Personally, I'm not speaking for other people, because I know people get caught. Whatever, but that's my opinion.
Yes, you should always get screened and you know, get your physical.
Well, we've all had that conversation. Don't they cover that? How did he get caught with XYZ? And doesn't his insurance cover them, like doing preemptive?
Preemptive.
I ain't gonna be that guy. Like, I'll have it done, and I may get something, but you know.
Yes, it's a good message, Brad.
Thank you.
We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Thursday. But gotta tell you about our friends at the Live Love Memphis Group. They are the best. We're talking about life-changing here. They can do that. You may be in a situation that feels hopeless with your home, that you're upside down in it, you bought it a bad time, you want a new one, whatever the case may be. They have the network. They have the connections to help you get out of that home into a new situation where you can build equity and feel better about your future. And Live Love Memphis Group does that every single day, but you got to reach out. Sold at livelovememphis.com.
Yep. She'll take all the anxiety, the don't knows, the well, what nows. That come with home selling at times and then home buying. Jennifer's going to have all the answers. 901-625-5200. Maybe you're like Reg and you're just not ready right now to put your home on the market, but maybe down the line we'll store that number away. Jennifer's done it in every market, and she's done it now over the years super successfully. She's done it with a very simple formula. Get good Memphians in good home ownership situations. That's one where you can afford the mortgage. Not just that, but afford it and build on it. Build that equity that John loves to tell you about. So important to living a great financial life, a healthy financial life, having that great home, that great mortgage. And Jennifer's going to get you that. If it's not that, then it's not good for you. And that's the business that she's in. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
At the real estate agent.
The Robert Irwin Jewelers having their Summer of 1,000 engagement sale going on. And what does that mean for you? Very simply, the more you buy, the more you get. Buy a 1.2 carat total double halo diamond engagement ring, only $14.99. You get a free diamond tennis bracelet. Free. They're giving away 1,000 carats of diamonds. You spend $9.99 or more, you get free diamond jewelry. Just another way that Robert Irwin Jewelers is solidifying themselves as the only place in Memphis to buy your jewelry.
Yep. How about this? A 3.5 carat total weight ring featuring a 3 carat above love star center diamond that delivers unmatched sparkle and performance. Only $3,999, and you get a pair of free diamond stud earrings to go with that. That's the other way you can do this. So plenty of options. You just got to get your face in the place, get to saving. You save up to 40% off those engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding sets at the Summer of 1,000 engagement sales going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. As John said, make sure you're shopping early so you get that free diamond jewelry with your purchase of $999 or more while supplies last. You'll have best selection the earlier you shop. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their 5 locations, 3 here locally, or shop online at rijewelers.com.
We actually got yesterday some college basketball scheduling news, not with Memphis, but we do like college basketball at large. And, you know, the SEC and the ACC are having their challenge. You know, they do the ACC-SEC challenge, and it's pretty juicy, I got to tell you. North Carolina and Kentucky going to play. That's fun. Two brands. And Florida is going to go to Duke. I mean, that's two high-level games right there. Louisville is playing Arkansas. NC State will go to Auburn. Those are sort of, you know, some of the best ones. And then you kind of get into, like, Alabama hosting Clemson, Virginia, going to play Texas. But high level, I would say, Carolina and Kentucky.
See, they're giving
Florida Duke.
Dick Vitale invitation.
Oh, he's getting his own thing?
You didn't see that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I want to tell
you. So I got an extension.
No,
he's getting a tournament.
I want to tell you, like, Duke's in it, as you know, right off top. They're going to, you know, early
sense.
On, folks are going to want to get
Duke
there.
Duke and Carolina should be.
I'm sure he can raise
in.
NIL to make right. this, you know. But, yeah, looking at that, it's going to be a big deal.
All right, let's get in it.
I think he's got a deal now through 28.
Yeah.
So there's three of them at least
okay,
for the, already.
I see it. Texas and Duke are the first two teams.
There you go.
All right. It'll grow.
Just putting it on your college basketball radar. It's coming.
Yeah.
You know, this is something he's probably wanted for a
absolutely.
Long time.
We got to see if we can get the Jeff Goodman Invitational on Field of 68. It was so far, it's been like South Dakota State and McNeese.
Yeah.
We got to work on that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jason Fitz as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.